Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to season 2, episode 16 of our Montessori Babies podcast. I cannot tell you how excited I've been to release this episode. This is an interview episode, and I had the honor of interviewing Linda Apostol of The Montessori Teacher, which, if you have an Instagram and you've typed in Montessori, she's probably popped up pretty high. She has a really amazing following and essentially teaches all about Montessori, the Montessori method, and Montessori homeschooling. So Linda is the voice coach and influence behind the Montessori Teacher, and she has a super impressive resume. So her professional experience includes roles as teacher, instructional coach, admin in the public, private, and charter education sectors in both Montessori and traditional approaches. She personally credits her education and the diversity in her experience for lending her a really unique perspective and informed understanding of the curriculum and instruction, and as it applies not only to the child, but to the teacher, the guide. So she homeschools both of her children. So she's a highly sought after holistic Montessori coach to parents around the world and parents looking to homeschool or world school using the Montessori method. And she supports educators and educational organizations as a speaker and holistic education consultant. So her social media platform, So the Montessori Teacher, she uses it to inform and educate and advocate toward long-term vision and creating more inclusive Montessori cyberspaces that really celebrate diversity and promote a global perspective with cultural competence, which just aligns so beautifully with Montessori. It's because, you know, culture is celebrated, you know, in the Montessori method. And so I have just been so, so excited to release this episode to you guys. I remember going into this interview super excited, but after the episode, I was just so excited with the information that I had gotten. So me personally, as you guys know, my experience is in 0 to 3. My degree is in child development. So, you know, I'm familiar with what goes on beyond, but my experience is in infancy and early toddlerhood. And so kind of getting to pick her brain about what to expect, you know, I'm a new mom myself and what things look like beyond toddlerhood was just really, really, you know, informative, really, really fun and super enlightening. So before I dive into this interview, I'm going to go ahead and start with our quote for today, which this quote is just perfect for this interview. And the quote that I chose is, of course, by Dr. Montessori. And she said, "It's not true that I invented what is called the Montessori method. I have studied the child. I have taken what the child has given me and expressed it. And that is what is called the Montessori method." This interview is so focused on the child by focusing on you, on the adult. And it's just really, really remarkable because, you know, there's a lot of information out there as far as Montessori and how to be Montessori. And I think it is really beautiful when you see, you know, people who have been exposed to a lot of even different trained people, you know, and they kind of come to the conclusion that the things that matter are, you know, adhering to the main principles, like following the child, honoring the child. But you, as their guide, as their parent, play such a big role. And you'll get to dive into that a little bit more as it applies to preschool age children and elementary age children. We even touch on adolescence. It's so cool. But anyway, so some of the terms that you're going to hear in the interview are primary, which in Montessori, primary age is that preschool age. So it's 3 to 6. Primary includes the kindergarten year. And you'll also hear lower elementary and upper elementary. And lower elementary is 1st through 3rd grade. Upper elementary is 4th through 6th grade. And then beyond that is adolescence. Another term that you'll hear is a plane. So Montessori, just like other child development theorists, sectioned the stages of development based off of the methodology that she was teaching, the approach that she was taking. Like, for example, there's another child development theorist named Erik Erikson, who I've mentioned before on this show, I know, but he has his psychosocial stages of development. And the way that Dr. Montessori observed and presented the stages of development are called the planes of development. And to be frank, having worked with children, her planes of development just really, truly make a lot of sense. And so anyway, so you'll hear us say the planes of development. There is the first plane of development, which is 0 to 6. And then the second plane of development, which is 6 to 12. There's the third plane of development, which is 12 to 18. And then the last plane of development, which is 18 to 24, 25, right about there. But anyway, what we typically focus on is the first half of the first plane of development. And the first plane of development is the absorbent mind. And that is probably a lot of what you've seen in respect to, you know, Montessori for the young child. And what's really fun is that Linda dives into what Montessori looks like beyond this age, you know, what it looks like in the home when you're homeschooling beyond this age. And it's just a really, really cool way to look at things, a really cool approach. I do want to say that, you know, we do dive into the various ages and all of that. We also dive into various reasons that people choose to homeschool and, you know, kind of dive into some topics that we haven't touched on in this show yet. And so just get ready for a really, really exciting, full-bodied, I don't know if you can even say that about a conversation, but you know, like a cup of coffee, it's a full-bodied cup of coffee in this conversation. But anyway, it was such a joy having Linda on my show. She has such an incredible program and approach in respect to homeschooling beyond toddlerhood. So it is officially time. Let's go ahead and jump right into our interview. Thank you so much, Linda, for coming on our show. I am so, so excited to have you here. Can you please just start by telling us a bit of your history in the field and what you currently do so our audience can get to know you a bit?
Sure. Thank you for having me. So education-wise, I am both traditionally trained and I am also Montessori trained. I have been an educator for over 15 years and I have worked in public, private, and in charter schools, and now I homeschool. I've had the pleasure and the fortune to work in two different states, in California and in Texas. And I've had the fortune to work with multiple school districts. I was also a national coach for Montessori in the public sector, where I had the opportunity to observe, visit, and work with public charter schools, public Montessori charter schools across the United States. So most recently, before I came into homeschooling, I was the director of teaching and learning. I've also been an instructional coach in multiple settings for quite some time before leaving it all without a plan B and now deciding to homeschool my children. As far as education goes, I, of course, have my certifications in Montessori from AMS. And then I have, you know, about a dozen or so credentials in California and Texas, and then a couple of master's degrees, master in curriculum instruction, master in educational leadership. So yeah, I would say that I am a lifelong learner.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
So it's been really great. I think that most impactful, I would say, for my education and background and experience is really just the varied experience that I've had the opportunity to acquire over the years and working with in all different sectors. I've also personally taught, you know, preschool and kindergarten, fourth grade, sixth grade, eighth grade. So it's great to just kind of, it was all very intentionally done. And I feel that ultimately it led me to where I am today.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. I am so excited to pick your brain now. So we have a lot of parents and caregivers who are new to the Montessori world because we, you know, we focus on infancy and young toddlerhood primarily. So would you mind just explaining what it looks like beyond this age, what Montessori primary is and, you know, what homeschool looks like for that age and how it's structured and stuff like that.
Perfect. Perfect. I love having this conversation because I feel like a lot of folks come to me when their children are toddlers, some of them when they're infants too. I'm like, oh, we're not quite ready yet. As you know, there's quite a bit of a difference between the infant toddler age and the primary and the second plane as well. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the biggest difference is really how you are approaching education, right? Because right around 3 years old, when the child reaches that turning point from unconscious mind to gaining consciousness at 3 years old, and now being able to kind of begin to apply or make sense of all the things that they've been absorbing, you know, subconsciously in 0 to 3. Now the mind and the child are both ready to start a little bit more of a what I call structured learning time. 0 to 3, my recommendation aligns actually a lot with your course that I've had the fortune to review. And I very much recommend to everybody that I know now, ever since I see it. But it is one of those things where, you know, in 0 to 3, it's more about learning through experience, right? The environment as the teacher. And then at 3, that continues, but we start adding some of what the cornerstones of what Montessori education is known for. So when you are homeschooling, I would say that the most notable difference is really having a dedicated time for learning, right? A lot of people find this super challenging. And I find that the reason they find it so challenging is because of preconceived ideas that they have of what education looks like. Mm-hmm. So when I say you need to have a 3-hour work cycle, and Bianca, this is like a hill that I die on. That's like, you need to have a 3 hours. When I say that, people are imagining, you know, a school. They're imagining they're doing things off of the shelf and the chalkboard and all of that. They're like imagining activity. And that's, again, because of preconceived ideas of what education and what your role as a teacher is and what your role now of your student is. And that's just not the case, because Montessori, as you know, in the classroom, the Montessori classroom is intended to replicate the home, right? But when you are homeschooling, you're already home. There's nothing to replicate. So really, the 3-hour work cycle when you are homeschooling is more about, like everything else in Montessori, is more about the adult, right? So it's about the adult saying no to everything else they could be doing for a 3-hour time so that they can stay present in guiding their child, in interacting with their child, and observing their child. Right. So that might look like something like this. So I'll give you like a day in the life, the work cycle in the life of a primary homeschool. So it might look something like, you know, you get up, you do your morning routines, you have your breakfast, what have you. And then you make your way to your learning space. A learning space is totally required because there's no Montessori without a prepared environment. Right. That's a pillar. So you go in and into your learning space, and you might start a little bit more gently, right? If you're 3-4 years old, incorporating lots of songs, right? Those are good for getting the speech sounds going and all those sound games. We might start with song. We might start with playing a guitar or just singing something nice. We might start with a poem. We might start with some calendar work, just so that we can kind of have a recognizable anchor to kind of let the child ease into the next part of your day.
Right.
After you do that little transition period, you go in and you know, might guide them in either having a lesson or choosing an activity. And then you take it from there. And it's much more organic. You take it from there. If you see that the child is getting a little squirrely, maybe you say, hey, getting a little squirrely. Maybe it's time to go have a snack. You want to help me prepare a snack? And maybe you can grab a book and we can go outside and have our snack outside and read our book together. And then you do that. It changes the environment a little bit. You come back in. All right. Hey, well, you've got some lessons to do. Which one would you like to do? Do you want to do this one or this one? Okay, let's go in. And you go and you do some lessons together. And it goes like this. The child might make some connections Maybe they're doing something in math and it reminds them of that time that you bake pies or you bake a cookie. Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, maybe when we're done, we could go and start baking cookies. So you wrap up your math, you head over to the kitchen, you make some cookies, put those in the oven, and then back to your learning space to continue. Mm-hmm. So it is much more organic. It's a little bit more relaxed, but it is definitely a 3-hour work cycle where the adult is really doing the teachable moments, because outside of those 3 hours when you're homeschooling, not everything is a teachable moment. Sometimes it's just a moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so this idea that some people come in and they say, well, you're homeschooling and everything's a lesson, that is actually very unsustainable and it will lead to burnout. Mm-hmm. So no, you're here, you're focused time. And then outside of that, you get to give yourself some grace. You get to go do some laundry. You get to incorporate help your child brush their teeth and do all of the other things that you've learned to do in 0 to 3 Montessori at home.
Right. Yeah.
So I would say that's the biggest difference.
Absolutely. The word that I was thinking the whole time that you were talking was organic. And then you ended up saying organic. It just sounds like, you know, I haven't taught in a primary space, but I have had the opportunity to observe. Actually, back when I first started, I volunteered in a primary space way back in the day. But what I know about the work cycle is that it can be just so beautifully guided by the child. And it sounds like you can perfectly honor that within the structure of a home environment. And what I'm gathering from it is that the structure is provided by you, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're the one kind of saying this time, this period, this space, these are your limits and here's your freedom, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And I love that you bring that up when the classroom, because a lot of people ask that, right? They say, well, how is it different? How is it the same? But if you think of a classroom, right, let's imagine that your child is in Montessori primary inside of a classroom. Again, it's mimicking the home. Mm-hmm. So when they come in, what happens? It's very similar. I remember my daughter, because my daughter was in a primary classroom as well. Mm-hmm. And I myself have coached teachers in primary classroom. Mm-hmm. And what I remember most is during drop off, my daughter's teacher, Miss Susan, oh my God, she is still the teacher that I always like compare everybody else to. You know what I mean?
We all have a teacher like that in our past.
Yeah. Well, Miss Susan wouldn't have done it though, you know?
Yeah.
But I always remember during drop off, she would always play the guitar. And it was always almost like this, because, you know, drop off is a very transient time. They kind of trickle in. And so she would be playing guitar and the kids would be playing along. But it was very similar to the home. Mm-hmm. Right. They do some work. They're going in and out. You're guiding them of, OK, you want to go water some plants. You want to come inside and have a snack. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of very similar. Mm-hmm. And then you get to lunchtime and it's very similar to home, except you're not eating, you know, with, you know, sitting on regular tables. You're sitting at your dining room table and you're setting it up in the same way. And then they go to nap. And so you go to nap. So it's all very similar. But again, it is always dependent on the preparation and the clarity that the adult has on what they're going toward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Oh, and just to clarify, what is primary? What age is primary?
Yeah. So it's 3 to 6. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going into the second plane would be 6 to 12. Although for homeschooling purposes and for homeschooling preparation, I find that it's always easier to break things down into subplanes. So 6 to 9 lower elementary, and then 9 to 12. It's just more digestible. The chunks are a little bit more digestible. And then in adolescence, you know, 12 to 18, it's just wonderful. To me, that is when homeschooling, my daughter just, she's about to turn 12.
Oh, wow.
And it is such a gift, let me tell you, to witness like the result like that, you know, they talk about raising a self-directed learner and it really starts coming to light in adolescence. Like that's when you really see, because 80% of the time she just does her own thing.
Wow. You
know? And I'm just incredible. You know, teaching her lessons.
I'm at the beginning, so I don't know.
Yes,
yet,
it's so really nice.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see it, to see that trajectory and then say, okay, right? Montessori is a long-term character building solution, right?
Yeah,
So it's always helpful to kind of know what the long-term is, right?
Absolutely. That's just incredible. I'm sure that, I mean, that warms my heart to hear. So I'm sure, you know, as a parent and then, you know, getting to share what you've learned with your child, that's just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Would you also mind touching on Montessori Elementary? So what that looks like in practice. Mm-hmm. So for the older children, you know, what that would look like homeschooling.
Yeah. So it's actually very similar. I would say that the most notable, so the 3 hours, the lunch, the easing into the day, what have you, it's all very similar. I would say that the biggest difference is the type of work, right? The work for an elementary child is just a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. So inevitably there's a lot more independent work. So the child who is in elementary is more independent. So people always like, give me a percentage. So I'll just give you a rough percentage. I would say that in the first plane, when you are homeschooling, right? Because you got to remember that when you're homeschooling, you're not just playing the role of a guide and a parent, you're also playing a role of a peer, right? So because you're doing that, you're with your child like 80% of the time. So you're either giving lessons or you're working with them or you're offering them choices. They're just needing a little bit more of that guidance because they're learning. Everything's a lesson. Yeah. Everything's a lesson, right?
Yeah.
But in elementary, I would say it starts to taper off, right? It starts to teeter. It goes into 60-40. When you're with them 60, they're 40% independent. Mm-hmm. Then by upper elementary, it's like a 50-50 or even like a 40-60, right? So I would say that the biggest difference is the type of work. There's a lot more independent work. So it's a little bit more balanced between the hands-on and the written or the self-guided. It's kind of like a half and half type of thing. And also because they're going into such big projects, I have found that 3 hours is usually not enough time. Wow. It's usually not enough time. So usually they do require, it's like a 3 hour work cycle. Then you kind of go to lunch for a little bit. And then in the afternoon, you have like a flexible time or an independent time where they can come back to and kind of complete their projects or keep working for an hour or two if they need it. It's like a flexible time. If you don't need to, then you don't need to, but you're the one again, providing that structure, providing that recognizable order in your day.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Montessori is known for, right?
I think that's when, if I remember correctly, like in the primary classroom, when the younger kids were napping, the older children had that opportunity, right?
Exactly. Exactly. <That's cool. laughs> And those are usually the kiddos who would be, you know, quote unquote, kindergartners. Those are the 5 and 6 year olds, right?
Oh, cool.
Those are the kiddos who are teetering into that lower elementary. So when you get into lower elementary, there's a lot more like independent work for repetition and things like that.
That's incredible. Yeah. Wow. This becomes easier.
What happened? I feel like it becomes easier. I feel like if you can get through like the primary those 3 years, it becomes easier because your environment, I will say this. I'll say that one of the biggest challenges with homeschooling, if you're following the Montessori method, which is a huge thing to emphasize here because a lot of people don't. A lot of Montessori homeschoolers are Montessori inspired. And even all the resources out there are mostly Montessori inspired.
Right.
But if you're following the Montessori method at home, which is different, right?
Yeah.
It is, I would say that one of the biggest challenges is space. Because you cannot have like all of the materials out all the time. Mm-hmm. So you do need to figure out how to organize your planning, how to organize yourself so that you're able to kind of maintain a prepared environment. And because in primary children are, you know, they're learning to read and most of those things are going to be very hands-on. Mm-hmm. So it requires not a rotation, whatever they call it on the internet, shelf rotation. There's not really like a shelf rotations, but it does require like, okay, they've mastered the stamp game. Now the next thing, and you know, a little bit of back and forth versus in elementary, there's less of that. So your environment stays put for a lot longer periods of time because they're more self-guided and the resources start becoming a little bit more paper-based because they can read now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So So it does become, I always tell people, if you can persevere and do primary, then elementary gets a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And adolescence, by the time it's like a 20-80, the opposite, when mm-hmm. they're, you know, 80% self-directed, mm-hmm. like you're done. You're in the clear.
And that sounds like it would just like, you know, because a lot of the parents here are starting to implement the principles that they learn on our show as well, you know, so starting in infancy and in toddlerhood, it's a really good time to start practicing these foundational, you know, pillars of Montessori.
Absolutely.
Will really help as you enter into, you know, primary.
Absolutely.
later on.
Absolutely. Yeah, because those are the foundations, right? In 0 to 3. That's the foundation of order, coordination, concentration, independence. And those foundational skills are really what guides and drives the entire methodology. A lot of people who start Montessori a little bit later, which is possible. Mm-hmm. I think that where a lot of folks go wrong when they start a little bit later is, again, with the preconceived ideas of what it is. And then they have like this urgency to get to the academics, to get to the performance of tasks, mm-hmm. and they just kind of take for granted those foundational skills.
Yeah.
But they're still necessary, and it's still possible. Even if you start Montessori when your child is 8 years old, 6 years old, 5 years old, taking the time to teach those foundational skills is the difference that makes the difference. 100%.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, with what you were talking about, as far as the prepared adult, like with the self, mm-hmm. absolutely. It mm-hmm. starts with you, and you can do it. You
yes.
can do it at any age.
Yeah.
There was a point in my career where I was giving tours for the Montessori school that I worked at. And so I mm-hmm. had, you know, I got to teach like what I learned about primary and just kind of gave them a general overview, mm-hmm. you know. And within that, a lot of parents asked about curriculum, like for mm-hmm. the most part, right? Like, and especially when you're touring a school and such. So I guess my question for you would be, as far as at home, when they're, you know, self-guided and they're learning, and how would you answer that question if, you know, a parent was deep diving
about the curriculum?
Just about, mm-hmm. you know, like what type of things do they learn was the question I got a lot.
I think that I try to answer. So if they said things, if the question was, what kind of things do they learn in primary? I generally try to stick to more common or traditional type of terminology. So I say things like, well, they learn all four math operations. They learn how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. They may not know how to multiply and divide. By the time they leave primary, they may not know how to multiply and divide in their head, but they will be pretty fluent with addition and subtraction, and they will have been introduced to multiplication and division. Mm-hmm. As far as language goes, we follow a phonetic type of program. So we start with the letter sounds, not the letter names, mm-hmm. and emphasize phonics to teach them how to read. And mm-hmm. that gradually releases, where we start with the letter sounds, then it goes on into blending, and then ending with the phonograms, the digraphs. Right? In culture, as far as culture goes, culture in primary is very much an overview of culture.
Yeah.
Culture in itself is still a very abstract concept for an absorbent mind that is very concrete and very literal. Mm-hmm. So the cultural experiences and curriculum and activities that we provide a primary child are much more concrete. So if we're talking about, for example, Africa, we're going to be doing the continent puzzle of Africa, so they can literally see the shapes and they can literally see the countries. Mm-hmm. And then we might do a little bit of like an overview of what are the types of food. So we really focus on more like the experiential learning mm-hmm. When it comes to cultural and scientific kind of subjects in primary. And then the biggest thing that I think I always talked about was practical life. Practical life is a cornerstone, and practical life is not just about doing chores. Practical mm-hmm. life is actually the segue for the child developing those foundational skills that mm-hmm. are essential in Montessori: order, coordination, concentration, independence. And practical life includes grace and courtesy, which helps the child understand how to navigate their environment, but also how to socially interact with their peers. Mm-hmm. So that, again, I don't know how to speak succinctly, but that's how I would answer it.
No, I mean, I loved the way you described it. I was like, well, walking good. Through an imaginary classroom in my head. It's so beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank
you. Well, that's good. Good thing we're recording it so that I could like listen to it and say, what did I say? Sometimes I say things out.
No, I do that all the time. So on that note, as far as, you know, homeschooling and Montessori homeschooling, I feel like you offer an incredible lens in regards to, you know, this topic. And I guess being a parent myself and just wondering what the world of homeschooling looks like, can you give some reasons why, you know, parents choose to homeschool their children and what it looks like?
Yeah. So there's a ton of reasons to homeschool. I feel like the homeschool community has like one type of reputation. Like we all think of the homeschooled kid when we were in elementary and we're like, wow, they're so awkward. But I think homeschooling has really evolved, especially since COVID. There's just so many resources and our world is just so much more connected that I think the reasons why people homeschool has really, really expanded. I think that, you know, once upon a time, the primary reason for homeschooling was this idea of quote unquote religious freedom, right? There was also, you know, like this anti-public school sentiment or what have you. Some people say freedom. And those are may still be reasons for some people to homeschool. Mm-hmm. But I have found that the modern homeschooler really homeschools so that they can kind of afford themselves and their children kind of a different reality, right? Mm-hmm. So that they can experience togetherness, right? When we're part of the school system, we all kind of develop independent from each other. Mm-hmm. And I think especially here in the United States, you know, when you're pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, it really promotes kind of like these individualistic values. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, we really value togetherness and the collectivist and community. And so homeschooling really gives us an opportunity to raise our children in community, right? It really gives us an opportunity for us to grow together and witness our children learn and learn from each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, all of us are individuals, of course, but it's always in the context of the whole. And it's always with a much bigger purpose.
Yeah.
I think that other reasons, you know, that if some of my clients say is, you know, peace of mind. Right now we are in a very tumultuous time politically and all around the world. And, you know, I don't want to, this is such a sensitive topic to talk about, mm-hmm. but it's a very hard reality that we're in.
It is. Conversations people are having for sure.
This is a very important conversation to have because it really is a motivator. The mass shootings that are happening, it really is a strong motivation for a lot of people, lot of people. And I think that then there's other things, right? The world again has evolved where a lot of people are work remotely and we want to not wait till we're retired to travel the world. And so homeschooling gives you this flexibility to go when it's and to world school, to travel and to educate, redefine what education is behind academics and really define it like we do. You know, I know that you're a Spanish speaker, right? So in Spanish, when we say educación, when we say, you know, está muy educado, we're not, or they're very educated. Yeah. We're not talking about their degrees. Mm-mm. We're talking about their manners. We're talking about how cultured someone is.
Yeah, it's a worldly human.
It's worldly human. And so that is something I think that for me, at least, that's a big why for homeschooling, of course.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons. I could go on and on.
Well, you know, the first time I was introduced to you on social media, you had made a post about world schooling and travel for me it's a value. You know, my dad lived all over the world. And so I grew up with those stories and I did a ton of traveling when I was younger. And so that's anyway, a big pull for me to be able to teach and explore. And, you know, there's so much culture that comes with it too. The food they get to experience, you know,
absolutely
volunteer. There's so many things you can do.
Yeah, there's a lot of educación, right? Yeah. That comes with especially as you're growing up and your mind is developing. A lot of people seem to downplay it and they say, well, why? They're not going to remember. But it's not about them remembering. Again, it's not about the performance of, oh, I went and I did this and the other. It's really about how those experiences shape you.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll say it again, Montessori is a long-term character building solution, mm-hmm. not a compliance one. And I hate to say it, but as someone who has worked in so many schools, has observed in so many ways, has been in every sector, right? It's all kind of this one version of the next, because right. they all operate under bureaucracies. They all have their own, you know, political interests, mm-hmm. whether it's a private school or whatever. The influence, it just There's comes something. From different places,
yeah.
right? So it's very interesting that a lot of people are kind of, I will say this, I have heard a lot of Montessori purists say that it's not possible to homeschool because it needs to be done in the classroom. But I feel like maybe they are looking at it through rose-colored lenses, because yeah. there's actually a lot more restrictions in the classroom that kind of take away from the authenticity of what it's supposed to, the method is supposed to be. Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I feel that was one of, you know, my biggest battles. I don't know if I've started this conversation on the podcast yet, but you know, as far as Montessori, there is a reputation as far as, you know, the rigidity of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like what it needs to be based on the interpretation of one human, right? But mm-hmm. like we all have, you know, this information, we get our training, we come out of it, you know, this new evolved human, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. you can implement it in, you know, your home. You can implement it in the classroom. You can implement it in the way that follows the child, right?
So, absolutely.
And follows your family. Absolutely. And it's about community. So that's what it is.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, there's lots of schools out there that, you know, charge a lot of money and that they're pure school, pure kind of authentic Montessori. And honestly, I feel like they get so stuck in doing things their way that sometimes they forget about the child that's standing right in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's really not about where it's done. It's really about the quality mm-hmm. of the educational experience. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes the quality is really dictated by powers outside of the teacher.
Right.
And that's the reality. Right. But in homeschooling, I'll tell you, it is the only place where I've been able to truly feel like I am being responsive to the needs of my child. I mean, even the simple fact that if we're teaching something and they make some sort of connection, I think when we were living in Austin, we were talking, I was teaching my oldest about the government, the branches of government and this and the other. And she made some sort of connection with the Capitol building. And in that moment, I'm like, wait, we live in Austin. It's the capital of Texas. Mm-hmm. And we wrapped up the lesson, right? We came to the conclusion and we got in our car and we went.
Oh my gosh.
And we're like, here we are.
Amazing.
But even the fact that you can do that, I don't know. That's been great. It's been wonderful to just be able to, oh yeah, let's go do that. Okay. Yeah. Let's go and connect it, you know? Yeah.
That makes me think of, something when I was studying in my master's program, we studied a piece that Montessori wrote about creating a child of their place and time, or their culture and time, or, you know, yes. something like that. And so
yes.
it seems like there's a lot of flexibility within the homeschooling world for them to experience their culture and time.
Exactly. You know? mm-hmm. Precisely.
Mm-hmm. So you have a program. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could tell us more about it. So I know that there are parents in our community. I've been messaged by parents who are interested in homeschooling themselves. And I would love if you would tell us just more about it.
Sure. So I started my program as kind of a bit of a fluke. I'm not going to lie. So I started my program when I was just kind of sharing. I had left my job as director without a plan B. And I started just sharing things on Instagram. I had at the point, I think I had like less than 1,000 followers, something like that. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you know, they liked my stories and they said, hey, can I pay you to show me what you're doing? And I said, yeah, like I didn't have any income coming in. I'm like, sure, absolutely. Yeah. And so one thing led to another. And through my consultations, I guess you would call them, with those first five clients or so, I developed a program that ended up being basically what I used to go through when I coached my own teachers. So what do I mean by that? So I, when I was an instructional coach, a director of teaching and learning, part of like a big part of my responsibility was for me to mentor and coach new teachers or teachers that were on program improvement plans.
Okay.
That was a big part of my career. And it was basically like, you know, they went through their training, they did their philosophy, they did their, they saw the lessons, and then they were thrown in the classroom and they said, okay, now do it. And then the teacher just kind of stared like a deer in headlights, like, okay, what, how? And so then, you know, in comes Linda and they're like, well, here's Linda and she's going to show you how. And so based on those experiences, it became very, very obvious or evident to me that that is what homeschoolers are also missing is how. And if you look at all the courses and workshops out there, it's all about what. Everything is teaching you basically a condensed version of teacher training. They're going to be somebody's iteration of the Montessori curriculum. Okay. So then somebody has like created iterations and versions of it. Some people maybe take record themselves giving the lessons, and then that's it. Everything is like a different version of the same of the next. There might be printables so that you don't have to do them yourself anymore, which is great. I'm all for the printables because easier,
life easier,
especially as a busy mom. You know what I mean? That's we've got lots of things going on. We've got, you know, dinner to cook. So my program basically fills this gap that is not addressed in the homeschool, Montessori homeschool community. There are folks who do like consultations, but a consultant is somebody that you come to with a question. And then they, as an expert, give you advice, right? A mentor is somebody that basically shares what they are doing and then says, this is what I'm doing, and kind of gives you ideas on what they are doing so that you can kind of still figure it out on your own.
Right.
A coach, which is what I do, is somebody who is very clear on what your goal is and then scaffolds the steps to help get you toward a very specific goal. So it's much more structured. And so my program is a step-by-step how-to on how to implement the Montessori method at home with authenticity and with high quality, right? Not some Montessori inspired, but like, how do you become a prepared adult? What are those skills that you are lacking? What are those preconceived ideas that you need to unlearn? Right. I guide you through how to de-school, how to completely understand education in a very different way. And then how do you actually do it? Right. How do you establish a routine? How do you find the time for everything that you need to do? We talk about that. How do you lesson plan in an individualized way, not by using a plug and play curriculum, but like, how do you observe? How do you have an observational practice? What do you do with that observation? And then how do you translate that into lesson plans that are individualized to meet the needs of the child? And so that is what I do. And of course, I streamline the curriculum for you. It's there, and I'll give it to you, no problem. And I give you the scopes and sequences. The last thing I'll say is that it is for homeschooling. So it is for people who whose children are 3 years old and older, maybe 2.9, because everything's ish.
So like, but just transitioned to primary.
Just transitioning into primary. And it is a very Montessori inspired approach for adult learning. So it is ideally for someone who is either ready to hit the ground running and like, I'm going to be teaching and you're going to be doing it. And that, like, it's going to be happening. It's not like traditional training where you come in and you absorb all information and then you try to figure it out at the end. It is, I'm telling you what it is. And then you go and you do it. And then we build on it week after week after week.
It's incredible.
Is that helpful? I told you I'm working on how to succinctly say it.
Yeah, no, it's super helpful. How long is your program? Like, is it for just kids ages 3 and up, or how long, like what time does the adult take to go through the program?
So again, it's just for the adults. It's adult preparation only. And it takes 12 weeks if you are doing one-on-one, which is my signature program, which is, you know, it's always the fast track when you're working one-on-one with someone, right? Mm-hmm. But there is also my academy, my course, which is actually launching right now. we're in the middle of a promotion. Mm-hmm. And so the course itself is kind of a hybrid version where you are having all of the information through videos. Mm-hmm. And then you have we have a weekly Q&A where we can meet live as a group, and I can address any questions that may come up as you're going through the course on your own. And it's lifetime access to the course, lifetime access to the weekly support calls every week. Okay. Wow. So if you start when your child is 3, you go through it and you're like, okay, good. We've got a good primary. And now you're going into elementary and you're like, oh crud. You could go back and watch those elementary ones and then mm-hmm. come in and get your questions answered. So it is kind of a very interesting thing. But the course, of course, because it's not personalized, it's not one-on-one, it takes about 5 months, I would say, for you to kind of go through it.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Well, it sounds amazing. I'm so excited for, you know, everyone who's about to jump into it.
Yay. I'm excited too.
It seems to really follow the child and the self. And mm-hmm. I loved what you said earlier about it being, you know, focused on also the adult, mainly the adult, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like in Montessori, that's something that I've placed a lot of emphasis on in infancy and in toddlerhood is, you know, it's just as much, if not more so, I mean, it's just as much about you as it is, you know, your baby, your sweet baby and your sweet toddler.
Exactly.
You know, it starts with you. It starts with the unlearning. It starts with, you know, the approach. And that's just incredible. So I'm so glad we get to offer this to you guys. Anyone who is looking to homeschool, definitely check this out. So would you mind sharing where our audience can find you?
Absolutely. So I have my website, The Montessori Teacher. I am very straightforward, not just in the way that I talk, but also in the way that I market. Mm-hmm. So it's themontessoriteacher.com. Mm-hmm. And then my academy is the Montessori Homeschool Academy. And then you can come in. There you go. You can remember it.
Yeah.
And I'm also on Instagram, the Montessori Teacher.
Amazing. So I will have all of that linked in the show notes for you guys so you can check her information, her program out. And then lastly, Linda, for a really quick rapid fire question to end our show, would you mind sharing your current favorite part of your day while you're Montessori homeschooling your babies?
Oh, yes. Slow mornings. Slow mornings. I remember the rush and I see all these reels and things on social media about morning drop-offs. And I think it just really helps me savor the slow mornings, getting up and showering and drinking my coffee and going for my walk and meditating and kissing my babies good morning every day.
It sounds beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Linda. It was so lovely chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that was our interview. It was so wonderful having Linda on our show. As I mentioned, I have all of her information linked in the show notes. So if you want to find out more about her programs, find her on Instagram. That is all in the show notes. So definitely check that out. And that is about it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Montessori Babies podcast. I love, love, love getting to know all of you. So if you have any questions or just want to say hello, definitely shoot me an email. My email is bianca@babytourguide.com. I am just so, so grateful for all of you and just love that we're all journeying through this wonderful world of Montessori babies together. So anyway, thank you again for listening to this episode, and I will catch you in our next episode. Bye. it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of Montessori Babies. If you'd like to support your baby's earliest and most important years the Montessori way, I have a totally free masterclass that teaches the 6 essential steps to begin Montessori with your baby that gives you the exact, seldomly spoken about steps that I created after over a decade working with Montessori babies, families, and caregivers. You can register via the link in our show notes or in my bio on Instagram at babytourguide. Also, if you're enjoying my podcast, I would absolutely love if you'd leave a review to help other parents and caregivers find and join our community. Thanks again for listening to Montessori Babies, and I'll catch you in our next episode. Bye!